Welcome to Martinsville Community Methodist Church. It is a beautiful day outside, and we want to rejoice in the Lord and His goodness. Please join me in the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, in this day we give thanks to you. Lord, we call upon your name. We'll make known your name among the nations, what you have done, and we'll proclaim your name is exalted. We will sing to you, Lord, for you have done glorious things, and we will let it be known all around the world. Father, today we will shout aloud and sing for joy. We will declare the great that is your Holy One of Israel among us. We ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. As we gather this day, each of us brings something to worship. We bring our burdens of the week. We bring prayers of hope and prayers of anguish. We bring our voices, we bring our offerings, and our questions. We bring our faith, tattered or whatever it may be. We bring all this to each other and to God, whom we worship today. Please continue by standing. Join me in the 63rd Psalm on page 788, Psalm 63. Join me in the reading of the Psalms. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and all my flesh faints for you. As in the dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary. Behold your power and glory. Because of your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call upon your name. My soul is feasted as the marrow and the fat, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you upon my bed and meditate you in my watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword, and they shall prey for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear in God's name shall glory. But the mouths of the liars will be stopped. So is the reading of the Psalms, Psalm 63. For today's reading, it will come from Acts chapter 12, verse 5, just one verse. So Peter was kept in prison, but the prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we delve into this topic of prayer, we pray, Lord, that you will give us an understanding, a deeper understanding, how you want us to lift up our prayers, how we can tap into that power of prayer, call upon your name, have you move, because you are the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. You are the creator of heaven and earth. And we pray that you will help us understand how we can tap into your power and calling upon your name and bring our petitions to you, and that you will hear our cry. We ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. This is a continuation of R.A. Torrey's preaching on prayer. And last week, again, for you that are not familiar, R.A. Torrey stands for Reuben Archer Torrey. He lived from 1856 to 1928, and he was a graduate of Biola University. And last time, I talked about this idea of consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. And I talked about why that type of prayer was necessary. Now here in today's verse, we are reading from Acts 12:5, which says Peter was kept in prison, but prayers for him was being made fervently by the church of God. If you're not familiar with that story, it's kind of an outline, is that Peter got thrown in jail for proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and he was locked up. And of course, the church then prayed for him. They wanted to see him released. They were very, very intent in calling upon their God, who Jesus had left not long before. And they were out seeing miracles. The churches were healing people, especially around the temple. They've got the story of the beggar who could not walk, and Peter and John walked up to him, grabbed him by the hand, and says, "Money we do not have to give, but we've got the power of Jesus Christ." And up he walked, and he leaped, and he was jumping around the temple. And of course, Peter ends up being thrown in jail for this type preaching. And so the church did not have a rebellion and try to throw him out. Instead, they got together and they prayed. And they prayed fervently. I want you to catch that. Prayer for him was being made fervently. Now, in my Amplified Bible, it switches that around a little bit. It says, fervent prayer for him who was persistently made. So they were very much intently praying to God. Now, this was not a prayer to unto God that was simple. We just get together, we pray for 5 minutes, and we're done. This was a conscious approach to the throne of God. They were serious. They wanted to see Peter out of jail. And they knew that God had the power to get him out of jail because they were watching Jesus walk the land, do miracles, make the rain stop, make the waves stop. He had control over the weather. He had control of all sorts of things. And they were calling upon him fervently. They weren't going to stop until something happened. And of course, if you know the story, Peter was led out of jail by an angel. And so, this is a very vivid picture of the type of prayer God wants to hear. This is prayer that demands action. It's a vivid reality that God is actually listening to our prayers. So I think this story is in there because this is how God wants us to come to the throne, especially as a community. He's not interested in the 5-minute prayer. I mean, he does listen to the 5-minute prayer, but that's not unleashing the power of God, a 5-minute prayer. I mean, if you really want something to happen, it has to be impressive. And in fact, I know that many people in their life of prayer, they pray and they pray and they go through their whole long list. And then 5 minutes later, after they get up, walk away, they can't recall what they were really praying about. You see, many people drift in and out of their thoughts. They don't have focus. And this is not the type of prayer that we were left with as prayer that we should pray to our God when we want something to happen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he prayed, there in Matthew, you could see in the garden the blood dripping off his brow. It was so intense. In Matthew 26, 40 through 41, it says, "And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So you men could not watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' So here is Christ. He's pouring his heart out before his Father in great anguish, and he's not even there an hour. How many of you have sat down and prayed for an entire hour? But here is Jesus praying for an entire hour, gets up and finds his disciples asleep. To be honest with you, a lot of times that's us. We sit down to pray and then we close our eyes just for a moment, and then you look at the clock and it's a half hour later. This does not impress God. Jesus was scolding his disciples because they could not continually be in prayer for him in his time of need for even an hour. And as I said, as Jesus was praying, blood was dripping off his brow because it was so intense. And you can see that in Luke 22:44. It says, "And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling upon the ground." So when we're talking about fervent prayer, fervently, it's a great intensity. And this is the type of prayer that Jesus prayed when he prayed to his Father in heaven. And since we are followers of Jesus, we want to keep with that idea of consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. It has such a great intensity, has a great force, and it's not just for a short time. Sometimes you must pray for an hour. Here Jesus is coming to the disciples saying you couldn't even pray for an hour. And we can see this intensity is the secret of the power of prayer. Because we have Jesus being mentioned in Hebrews 5:7. Of course, it was written by Paul. And Paul says, "In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers of supplication and with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And as he heard because of his piety." I want you to understand here, looking deeply into the scriptures, Jesus, Paul is saying, was lifting both prayer and supplication. And he included loud crying and tears. Can you imagine Jesus on the ground, on his knees, crying out to God in loud crying that others can hear him? And in tears because he's so passionate about what he's asking his Father in heaven to do. So, if we're followers of Jesus, and these are the type praying that Jesus did, we should consider that us too, we should pray with such fervency, with such persistence. And then Paul in Romans 15:30, he states, "Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." So he's urging them, he's begging them. Begging who? Begging his brothers and sisters in Christ to use the Spirit to pray and strive together with him in prayers to God for the work that he's doing. Striving in prayer is not just individual, but also corporately. So praying as a church. And when it talks about the Amplified Bible uses earnest wrestling in prayer. When you use the words earnest wrestling in prayer, hopefully that brings an imagery that there is a struggle. It's difficult. This is a far cry from our dinner prayers. You know, when we sit down at dinner and ask the Lord to bless the food, thank him for the food, this isn't a wrestling prayer. So back in Acts 12, 5, the entire church, everybody in the room, was united in praying as one to God. And they wrestled with it, and they struggled with it, and they fervently prayed, and they were persistent about it, insisting that God should act to get Peter out of jail. Now, I have been attending prayer services at churches for most of my life. And to be honest with you, I don't see this kind of prayer. Never. I see a few people pray for a long time, pray in a manner which that I, at that time, could know, just never have that kind of depth. Over time and seasoning and having to depend upon prayer to get through life, that takes seasoning. That has taken time. But at the time when I was growing up, these things were all new to me. And then we have Paul talk about groaning for words. That's in Romans 8, 26, 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, up to this point, we have been talking about the prayers for the saints, the prayers for our brothers and sister in Christ, how they should be very intense. Okay, Paul is talking about here agony, passion, intensity, over and over. His prayers that he gave were so, so intense. And I continue to use that word over and over again, but this is what he did. And when you don't have the words, keep praying, because the Spirit will know what you're trying to get across. But no matter how you cut it, this is an emotional activity. And if we want to look for other examples, I think a good example is down in Daniel. Because down in Daniel 9:3, it says, "So I gave my attention to the Lord God, to seek Him by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." Now, as Christians, we don't dress up in sackcloth. Some of us fast. We definitely don't put sackcloth on and pour ashes over our head, because that's what he's talking about doing. It is really debasing yourself, humbling yourself before your God. This is what Daniel did. Daniel's intensity of prayer. And I want to read to you Daniel's prayer. And I'll try to read it slowly and intensely. And it's quite a bit, because it's Daniel 9:3 all the way down to 19. So let me read that. "So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord God and confessed and said, 'Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and loving kindness for those who love Him and keep His commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from Your commandments and Your ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to Your servants, the prophets, who spoke in Your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to You, O Lord, but to us open shame. As it is this day, to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away, and all the countries to which you have driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you. Open shame belongs us. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because they have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he has set before us through his servants, the prophets. Indeed, all Israel transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice, so that the curse has poured out on us, along with an oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Thus we have confirmed his words which he has spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us, to bring us greater calamity. For under the whole heaven there is not been done anything like what has been done in Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, as all calamity has come to us, we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it to us, for the Lord our God is righteous with respect and to all deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people into the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made the name for yourself, as it is in this day, we have sinned and we have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain, for because of our sins and iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications, and for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of our merits, on any of our merits, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because of your city and your people are called by your name. And after that, Gabriel comes, brings an answer. So I want you to hear that prayer. Is this what your prayers sound like? Because these are the examples that have been left for us in Scripture. And Daniel was known as a great man of prayer. He would open his doors to Jerusalem 3 times a day, kneel down and pray, and the whole city saw him. This is the type man Daniel was. And so as we go through his prayer and listen to his prayer, the question is this the same intensity that we carry with our prayers? There is no form or factor. I mean, Jesus gave us his prayer, an example for us to pray. But you can hear the intensity of what Daniel was asking. You can hear the compassion behind it. And of course, unity of prayer in the church and the believers is very important. This is clear in Acts 12:5 as I was reading it there, and I'll read it to you again. So Peter was kept in prison, but by prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. The church was focused. They came in unity as a group of believers. They all agreed not only that it needed to be done, but God can do it. And all they have to do is bring their prayers and supplications to God. And as you can hear from that prayer in Daniel, I'm sure there was a lot of confession of lack of faith and sin, and then calling upon the power of God and wrestling with God to do this thing that they are asking. And, you know, this is a church that heard these words from Jesus in Matthew 18:18-20. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. You've heard that quoted over and over and over again, but I kind of want you to catch some of the nuances there, because the nuance is what we're talking about. The nuance is what make our prayers from something that God's going to ignore to something very intense that God definitely is going to turn his ear, listen, and pay full attention to what you're asking. Because he says that when we ask things to be bound, they'll be bound in heaven and bound on earth. And when we ask things to be loosed, they'll be loosed in heaven and they'll be loosed on earth. And when we ask if something to be done, it will be done. And number one, we as a body of believers, because here it's talking about a group, not just one person, you need to be in agreement. One, you need to be in agreement that this is what we want God to do. Two, in agreement that this is something that God absolutely can do. We just have to wrestle in prayer. Fervently pray. Call upon our God. And these promises will be fulfilled. So as you can see from the above passage, that the agreement is very intense. And the passion is very intense. Like I said, Jesus gave us the example of how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, that was not the whole prayer. You have to remember, Jesus is teaching them how to pray, but as they watched Jesus pray, many times he was in tears. When Jesus was praying, he was crying out aloud. When Paul is praying, he's wrestling in prayer, saying maybe the same words, but with much more intensity and meaning. And this is where the power of prayer lies. And God did not give us such power to pray without rules. And here are some of the rules laid out in 1 John. Chapter 3, verses 20-24, says, Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments. And to do things that are pleasing in his sight, this is his commandment, that we believe in his name, the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Then one who keeps the commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know this, that he abides in us by the Spirit which whom he has given us. These are pretty much a summation of the rules of prayer. You're not going to get your prayer answered if you feel like you've done things wrong and you don't have confidence that you can come before the Lord. Maybe you need to first ask forgiveness and be cleansed by the blood of Christ, forgiven for these fractions against our God, so you can come with confidence. confidence that not only you are cleansed by the blood of Christ, you have the righteousness to stand before God, and that he will answer your prayer. And it talks about keeping his commandments. Well, you know what Christ said? We're to love one another. And also, we need to do tasks that are pleasing in his sight. These are conditions to tap into that powerful prayer. If you're not doing the things God is asking you to do, if you're not following the principles that Jesus laid down, then there's no reason for God to take your prayer seriously. And of course, there in 1 John, it talks about abide. And if you read John 15, it talks about abiding in Christ, abiding in the vine, that way you're fruitful, and doing everything in the Spirit. So prayer is not about you. Prayer is about God. Prayer is not about what you want. Prayer is about what God wants. If you understand what God wants and you want to do things pleasing to God and you're striving to please God and you're praying to God to fulfill all these things that are pleasing to him, this is what Paul, John, Peter, Acts, and the Gospels are all talking about. Christ did not bring prayers for his personal benefit. He brought prayers to fulfill the kingdom plan of God. So remember, as I wrap this up, prayer is an intense, active, passionate activity. When you go to the Lord in prayer, pray with passion. When you want someone healed, a brother in Christ, pour your whole heart into it. Remember, your audience is God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. He has the power to do it all. And as a church, we need to pray united, all in agreement. Not just that it needs to be done, but also that God can do it. God can fulfill it. As part of the promise of Christ, we lift these things fervently, persistently, and passionately to our God. As a group united in unity, he'll make it happen. That's part of the promise. This is some of the stuff that R.A. Torrey talks about. Prayer. For our statement of faith, please turn to page 873. That's 873. This is Psalms 23. Please join me and read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us close our time with the benediction. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Go in peace.